Classic.
Internet.
No delay.
Debut album.
What is it?
Unbelievable.
Sunny days.
Eartraining.com.
David Lucas Burge Ear Training Library for Musical Excellence. The Perfect Pitch Ear Training Super Course, Masterclass 3.
Were you able to hear some slight difference between these tones? This pitch, it has that kind of a vibrant sound to it, and the E flat has a more mellow, softer quality. Were you able to hear some slight difference like this? Many of you heard it so clearly that you were even very, very surprised. You had never really taken the time to listen to individual notes that closely, and you did hear it very clearly. In the live seminars, 99% of the seminar participants do hear it quite well before they leave the seminar, so I'm sure that many of you were quite surprised when you actually sat down to listen to these. Now, if we thought it was supposed to be extremely concrete, then we should know it's a very delicate perception. It's not concrete. It's not overly noticeable. Otherwise, everybody would have had it long ago. It's something very subtle, something very delicate. And if you heard any little difference, any slight difference, then you have heard it correctly. We don't try to listen and make it concrete. It's never concrete. Even when we have fully developed perfect pitch, it's not concrete. It's always refined. It's always subtle. What we do is we learn to distinguish these colors between the very fine variations that there are in the tones. But they become very clear. They become very clear so that we can identify A, C sharp, F, B flat. We get to know those sound colors. But we do not try to hear these things. We just let our ear hear. Even if you don't hear a difference, let's say that you did this exercise and you went to your instrument and you really could not hear the difference at all, then even then we don't become concerned. Because see, the ear has gotten into a habit of listening horizontally. All our lives, we're listening to the relationship of one tone to the other. How the tones flow. This is horizontal hearing. Perfect pitch is vertical listening. We have to take one tone, this E flat, and listen deep, deep, deep inside of that tone. We don't listen horizontally, comparing it to the F sharp. No, it's not that. You listen just to the E flat itself, and you listen deep inside of it, and then you notice that it has a sort of a softer quality than this F sharp, which is more vibrant, more bold, more daring. The F sharp has that different kind of a color to it. You may have said when you first were listening that you're so used to hearing these relationships, and maybe that's all you could hear. This is fine. What this means is the ear has been conditioned to hear only relationships. Now what we have to do is we have to get it out of that habit and into the habit of listening inside the tones. When we can permanently get it into the habit of listening inside the tones, then we have both perceptions. We have both the color perception of perfect pitch and the horizontal listening. But when we're listening for these colors, we don't try to make them clear. We just listen, and if we hear some little quality which is different, then we know we have heard it correctly. Now let's listen a little bit more. The F sharp, we said, is sort of bold. It's sort of like the visual color red. Now remember, we're not associating colors. I'm saying it's like the color red. I'm not saying you have to think of F sharp as red. F sharp is bold and it kind of sticks out more so than all the other tones. Just like in the visual field, red sticks out more than all the other tones. And that's why we use red to attract attention, like for stoplights and stop signs and exit signs. They're all in red because the red catches the eye. And in the same way, the F sharp catches the ear. There's something about it. That's why I like to start off with this F sharp. The E flat, on the other hand, is a softer kind of a sound. And if we put it up an octave, did you try listening up an octave? If not, you'll have to do that a little later here. Up an octave, it's still the same. The F sharp has that same kind of vibrant quality. The E flat still has that mellow quality. Up an octave still, same thing. Vibrant, mellow, but it's almost as if it's a different tint of that same sound. It's lighter up here. You can still hear the twangy quality, that where kind of a quality to it, but it's lighter. And when we get up here, it's even lighter. And up here, it's so light that I don't even expect you to hear that right away. We have to learn our colors in the center of the keyboard, or the center of the fretboard if you're a guitarist, first before we can start to discern them clearly way up here. Because these are so light, it's almost like getting towards white up there. And down here, they're very dark. It's sort of like getting towards black, so they're a little bit more difficult to hear all those tones down here. Now, without perfect pitch, we've got our white and our black, and all we've got is black and white hearing. These are all shades of gray. We don't appreciate the colors, we just appreciate that the tones are going up or down. But there's no difference, really, between all these tones, because they're all just shades of gray. But then, when we take the time, like we have done here, and we listen, and we sort of have our first taste of what this ability is all about, we're actually surprised. If we were at a live seminar right now, I think you would be even more surprised when you would find that the musicians that are around you at the seminar would hear the tones just the same way, really, that you are. That the F sharp does sound twangy to everybody, and the E flat sounds more mellow. It is a surprising thing, because before we've never really thought about listening to tones in this way. All 12 of them have their own distinct color. We can call them colors, or we could call them flavors, or you can call them scents if you want, just like every spice that is on the rack has a different scent to it. Some people like to call them, give them personalities, whatever. There's many different ways of describing these. But color is a very accurate description, because the faster the frequency, the higher the pitch. And wherever that frequency lies, if it's here, it has that color. If it's up here, it has this color. If it's here, it has a different color. It's all based on frequency. It's exactly like the visual field of color. Let's talk a little bit more about this actual experience. The F sharp is twangy and the E flat is mellow, but let's listen to the A flat. Let's listen to just the F sharp and the A flat together. Here's the F sharp. The A flat. F sharp, A flat. When we go up to the A flat, we lose something. There's some edge to the F sharp, and when we get to the A flat, it just doesn't seem to be there anymore. It's softer and smoother. It's rather like the E flat, although if we listen carefully, the A flat and the E flat are different kinds of smoothness. They're different pitches And so they do have different color sounds. Now, you may not hear this clearly on this tape. It's nothing wrong with the tape and nothing wrong with your machine. It's just that the ear may not be open enough to hear it on the tape. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. What I would like you to do is go back to your instrument and listen to all these things on your instrument, and I think you will be very surprised that these flavors, these colors, do exist on your instrument, which you have been playing for all this time. So the F sharp and the A flat do sound distinctly different. What if we put it into a chord? We have an F sharp chord, and compare that with an A-flat major chord. What difference do we hear? Well, the F-sharp chord has some kind of brilliancy to it. It's a brilliant kind of a sound, a very bold sound, a brave sound. Whereas the A-flat is more rounded. Participants at the live seminars enjoy themselves thoroughly because as soon as one seminar participant says, oh, it sounds kind of rounded, the other one will say, oh yes, I thought it sounded sort of smooth too and sort of soft. And they're all going back and forth describing the very same thing in their own words. It's a very interesting experience. It goes to show you that it's not something which is unique to any one musician. We've all got this mechanism of perfect pitch in our ear. It's just that we have never really used it. We've never really listened in this way before. Let's listen to the F sharp major chord and an E flat major chord. Here's F sharp, E flat, F sharp, E flat. Try this on a piano live or on your own instrument, if you can play chords on your instrument, and you will hear a difference. And remember, we're not listening for a clear kind of a difference. It's a subtle thing. It's a feeling that when you play the F sharp chord and you move to the E flat, something has changed. You cannot maybe quite put your finger on what has changed, but something to your ear has definitely changed, and it's not having anything to do with how high the pitch is. Obviously, this first chord is higher, and this one is lower. We're not talking about high and low, and we're not talking about relationship. This is a minor third higher than this. We're not talking about that. We're talking about an intrinsic quality in the actual tones themselves. The F-sharp chord has a bolder sound because F-sharp is the root of the chord, and the root of a chord is the strongest sound in a chord. So if the root of this chord is vibrant, then that flavors the entire chord with that vibrant color. The E-flat, an E-flat chord has an E-flat as its root, so the E-flat will have the strongest input in an E-flat major chord, so it flavors the entire chord with a softer kind of a feel to it. Composers have used various keys and chords in different ways for different reasons, even unconsciously. We tend to choose chords that suit the kind of feeling we're trying to express in music, even unconsciously, because an A major chord will not have the same feel to it as a B flat major chord. Completely different feel, because all the tones in those chords are completely different. Not one of them is the same, but it does have the same structure. This is the beauty of absolute pitch perception. Hearing that the structure is the same, but all the color sounds have completely shifted. But once again, we don't try to hear it clearly. Absolute pitch training is an effortless training. What we don't want to do is we don't want to practice this perfect pitch training with an idea that you're going to get in there and force your ear and whip it in shape. This is not the kind of training. Maybe if you're going to do weightlifting or something like that, and you have to get a lot of endurance. You're going to run many, many miles. Maybe you have to force yourself in all this kind of straining. But this we cannot do with this absolute pitch training, because if you strain, the ear will not hear. The ear will only hear when it feels comfortable and relaxed, and you just let it listen. Now, because this experience of pitch color is a subtle experience, I know that at this point, many of you are doubting whether you are having the right experience. If you're having some kind of experience where sometimes you think you hear it and sometimes you don't hear it, this is just the right experience. This is the way it starts off. It's not something that is in full bloom. It's something which is just growing. You've just had your first taste of this. It's something which you're unsure about. So sometimes you hear it and sometimes you don't. And let me tell you, the time you'll hear it is when you're not trying to hear it. And then when you hear it just a little bit, you get all excited and you say, oh wow, I hear it now. And then you listen even more and it just evaporates. This is the way this experience of color is. It's a very subtle perception. It's a refined, cultured perception. So that is just the right experience. Now, as far as this twanginess, for instance, we're just going to talk about this F sharp right now. This twanginess could not be the timbre of the piano. Some people, when they hear it, when I go and do these live seminars, the first thing they say is, oh, well, yes, I do hear that that F sharp sounds twangy, but that's just the timbre of the piano. It's something in the piano. Maybe there's a screw loose in the piano. But you see, that's not it. It's the absolute pitch color of that F sharp. From now on, throughout all time, past and present, whenever a human ear hears that pitch, it will sound twangy. Now, in Bach's time, the pitch was different. We had a lower standard of pitch, but it doesn't make any difference. We can call this note F sharp, or we can call it F, or we can call it G, or we can call it X or Y. We can call it anything we want. The point is that whenever this pitch is heard, that is the pitch that has that twang to it. It's not part of the piano, because you can hear it on all instruments. When the ear is developed, we hear it on all the instruments. So it's nothing that has to do with the piano itself. And furthermore, it's nothing to do with any one particular piano. Because see, when I go all over the country, I have to depend on the fact that the piano I'm going to use is going to have a twangy F sharp and a mellow E flat. It would not look too good if I went somewhere and then I tried to demonstrate this, and the F-sharp sounded mellow, and the E-flat sounded twangy. See, I have to depend on this. Doesn't make any difference if the piano is an upright, grand, baby grand. Doesn't make any difference. I've had piano tuners tell me, in fact, that they always felt that that F-sharp was very difficult to tune because it always had a buzz in it that they try to get out. And I've told them, that is exactly the way the F-sharp should sound. You can't really get that out. I had a harpsichord maker tell me one time that he had been trying to get the twang out of the F-sharps for years. I told him, you can't get it out. That means you've made your harpsichord right, because that's the color sound of an F-sharp. You can't get the color out of it. This is the way an F-sharp sounds when it's in tune. It has a nice, twangy, vibrant quality. And the B-flat has a different kind of a sound. They all have a different sound. I'm not going to tell you what they all are. I want you to hear this for yourself. I'm just starting you off. See, at the seminar, I'm often asked to give adjectives to describe all 12 of the tones so that you can know what to listen for. People always say, tell us what a G sounds like. Tell us what an E sounds like. But I never do that, and I'll tell you why. I want you to hear these sounds for yourself. It's not something that I can describe for you and then you can go and listen and try to hear it the way I'm hearing it. If I just told you, okay, perfect pitch is color hearing, go listen for the colors, you would have no idea on earth what to listen for. But I sort of hint at it. I say, you see this F sharp? It has a little twangy color. And it sounds like this. Where, like that. And then I say, E-flat sounds wah, wah, wah. I just give a little hint, and then you know what to listen for. Then your ear knows how to listen in a vertical direction. And once you're set on that path, then there's nothing to figure out. It's just a matter of hearing it, and whatever it is, that's what it is. You can't hear it wrong. Some people are worried about, well, what if I hear it wrong? You can hear it wrong, because whatever the color is what it is. You don't have to think of it in terms of words, twangy, mellow, soft, all these things. We don't have to put it into words if we don't want. They will all become clear as you listen yourself. Now, as we do listen, what happens is our color discrimination grows. We said that the first level of perfect pitch was color awareness. That's what you've got right now, when you can sense some difference. You're not sure, you can't really put your finger on what it is, but you sense something different. Maybe if you change keys from here to here, something is a little different. This is color awareness. And when we practice our color hearing technique exercises, the color hearing grows. It becomes established in the awareness so that it becomes color discrimination. Whatever note I play, you can tell what that note is on your own instrument. Now, what happens after that is when you can clearly hear, and when I say clearly, I mean that you can recognize. I don't mean that the experience becomes concrete. It doesn't become concrete. It just becomes clear on that level. It's a subtle clarity. But when you can clearly recognize all the tones on your own instrument, then this perception can become refined. It can become refined color discrimination. And this is our third level of perfect pitch. Refined color discrimination. If you can tell this is an E, F, F sharp, G, A flat, A, all of that, then the hearing gets refined enough so that you can tell in between notes a little. If a tone is a little bit sharp or flat, now anybody can tell if something is sharp or flat if you play one note and then you play another note and you compare the two to see if one is sharp or one is flat. Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying you have one note and you are able to tell to some extent if that one tone is a little sharp or a little flat to standard concert pitch. Now, this is the way it works. It's very similar to the way our eyes see visual colors. It's very interesting. If we have our color spectrum, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, and we see all of that. Now, those are bands of color, and they all melt one into the other. It's not just, here's red, and there's orange, and there's yellow. No, it all melts one color into the other. So if you see red, and you see orange, what is that color that is right in between those two? Well, it's red-orange, isn't it? Because when your eye looks at it, you can tell that it's got some red in it and it's got some orange. So you can't really say it's red or orange. You have to say it's red-orange. Well, it's exactly the same way with pitch color perception. Here's an E. Here's an F. This has the color sound of an E. This has the color sound of an F. If this E were a little bit sharp, it would start to sound a little F-ish. In the same way that if the visual color red is a little sharp, so to speak, it starts to look a little orangish. It's the exact same way. See, some people think that if you have perfect pitch, you have some kind of a mental barometer in your brain, which just registers boing and tells you exactly how high or low a pitch is. And this is not it at all. It's just the color perception. If this E sounds like it has a little bit of F mixed in with it, then you are able to tell that that's a little bit sharp. Or if this E sounds a little bit like the E flat, then you say that that E is a little flat. You can tell that way. If it becomes too much mixed with that sound color of the E flat, then you'll just say it's an E flat. There's a range. It's not just a line drawn around every note. It's a range, and they all melt one into the other. This is refined color perception. when the ear is able to hear the colors clearly on our own instrument, and then we start to be able to tell if those colors are a little bit sharp or a little bit flat. Now, up until this point, we usually only hear these colors clearly on our own instrument, as we have said. If we're a guitarist, then we would hear it best on our own guitar. We can hear them clearly on the guitar, but as soon as somebody plays a note on the piano, we have no idea. You're completely lost. Now, this is a common experience. People come to the seminar all the time. They don't even think they have perfect pitch. And they tell me, yes, any note that you play on the piano, I know what it is. But as soon as I hear the violin, I have no idea what's playing. A conductor in the Los Angeles area told me that any tone played on an oboe, he can tell you exactly what the tone is. He's an oboe player. But he said that any of the instruments in the orchestra besides the oboe, he had no idea what those tones were. Now, this is perfect pitch, because it is color discrimination. We can hear the colors on our own instrument, so this is perfect pitch, but it's just one level of perfect pitch. We can refine our hearing even more so that we can hear these colors on all instruments, and this would be called universal color discrimination. When the ear can hear these colors clearly and recognize them in all the universal varieties of pitches, whether it's our own instrument or piano, guitar, oboe, violin, bassoon, bells, little glasses of water, and we kind of go around the rim and make a little sound, or whistles, or birds, or voices. No matter what the pitch is, we're able to tell the name of that tone. This is universal color discrimination. Now, why does this phenomenon exist? Why, at first, can we only hear these colors on our own instrument and not on other instruments? What prevents us from hearing the color on instruments that we don't really play so much? Well, timbre is the culprit. Timbre is a large consideration when we're talking about color hearing, because timbre means tone color, and it's very easy to confuse tone color with pitch color. So let's review here just a second. Tone color is what lets us tell instruments apart. Pitch color is what lets us tell pitches apart, if it's that twangy color sound of the F sharp, or if it's the mellow color sound of an A flat or an E flat, or the bright color sound of an A. That's what pitch color is. Now, what happens is this. Let's say we have a pianist. He's practicing his color hearing technique exercises, and he's able to recognize all the tones on the piano. C sharp, B flat, B, E. Now, this pianist has perfect pitch. He has already developed color discrimination on the piano, but somebody comes in with a synthesizer and plays something like this. And all of a sudden, the pianist has no idea what tones are being played. Why? The colors, we have said, are at a very deep level of perception. They're delicate. They're quiet. They're subtle. Whereas the tone color, the timbre of the instrument, is on the surface level of perception. It's obvious. It's easy to hear. How long did it take you to practice in order to be able to tell the difference between a piano and a guitar? How many hours a day did you have to practice? Well, I hope you didn't have to go too long, because that's easy. Anybody can tell the difference between a piano, a guitar, a violin, and a flute. Now, when the pianist is learning to identify pitch colors on the piano, his ear is listening very deeply into these tones. His ear penetrates deep inside so that it hears that twangy color and the mellow color. And then all of a sudden, if somebody comes along with a different kind of a sound, his ear, which was listening so deeply, all of a sudden surfaces and says, what is this new timbre on the surface? And in so doing, it loses temporarily the color experience it had on the piano. The pianist is used to hearing that the F sharp sounds twangy, and the E flat sounds mellow. But then when he comes along and listens to the synthesizer, they all sound twangy. Because the timbre of this particular synthesizer sound is twangy. If we play an E flat, he may think it's an F sharp just because the timbre is twangy. Or if I put it like this, they all sound like E flats because all of the sounds are mellow. You see how the timbre of an instrument can confuse the pitch color? But this is an illusion. It's a total illusion. In reality, pitch color can never be covered up. An F sharp is always the twangy one, regardless of what the instrument is. It can be piano, guitar, oboe, synthesizer, violin, trumpet. The F sharp is always the one that is the twangy one. Now, when we say F sharp, we mean a concert F sharp. Concert pitch, whatever you would have to play on that instrument in order to match an F sharp on the piano. So that would be a G sharp, of course, on the B flat clarinet, for instance. So a concert F sharp is always the twangy one. The E flat is always a mellower kind of a sound, and it doesn't make any difference at all what the timbre of the instrument is. The ear has to learn the distinction between pitch color and tone color, the color of the instrument and the color of the pitch itself. This is universal color discrimination. You have to hear these things for yourself. Now, we can go further than universal color discrimination to judge if that tone is a little sharp or a little flat on all instruments. Then we call this refinement spectral discrimination. Well, I hear a G, and that G sounds like it's just a little bit sharp. This A has a range. It could be sharp or flat. All of these are A's. Even though we say that A should be 440 or 220 or 110 vibrations per second, it doesn't always work out that way. There is a range of what A is. Now, here I have to set aside another myth. Some people think that if you have perfect pitch, any tone that you hear, you know exactly how sharp or flat this is. And that is not true. It's a human perception. You will hear a tone and it might be an E. And then if you listen to it a little closer, you say, oh, I think that E is a little bit flat. How flat is it? Oh, I don't know. It just sounds a little bit flat. I'll say a third of a step. It's a human perception. We're not turning into a computer. But we can get a basic perception of if a tone is sharp or flat, and this we call spectral discrimination. But this is not our final level of perfect pitch. The height of perfect pitch development we call aural recall. Aural recall, this is where you can actually think of a tone. Just wake up first thing in the morning and just be able to sing any tone that you wish to sing from your own memory. A lot of people think that it's a matter of memorizing a pitch. You've heard of people that have sat there for a long, long time at the piano and playing a C over and over for a real long time to try to memorize a pitch. And then they come back a half an hour later and they sing a B. So it just wasn't memorized. See, this is not the way we develop perfect pitch. Perfect pitch is not the raw memorizing of a pitch. It's hearing the color. You'll never remember that C until you hear a color difference between the C and the B. Otherwise, if you just have a raw gray pitch, it's very easy for the C to slip down to a B or slip up to a C sharp. There's nothing to hold it there. Only with the color perception will you be able to remember accurately the pitches. So this aural recall, this highest level of perfect pitch, is a very clear perception of pitch color. It's so clear that we can hear it in our own mind and remember the pitch. It's one thing to hear it on the piano and know it's a C, It's another thing to think it up all by yourself in your own mind. That's a bit more advanced, and that's what aural recall is all about. Now, it's very interesting how this aural recall works. Say you want to think up a certain note, like, say, A flat. You don't judge how high or low that tone is. It has nothing to do with highness or lowness. What you do is you think up the color sound of that tone. What does it sound like? Once you have the color sound in your mind, whatever pitch happens to be in your mind will naturally turn out to be the A flat. Because you're hearing the color, what pitch goes along with that color? There's only one pitch that can go along with any one color. So if you think of the A flat color, you automatically have the A flat. La, and there it is. It's a matter of hearing the color, nothing to do with judging how high or low a tone is. Now, this is our highest level of perfect pitch. I want to emphasize that all these levels of perfect pitch, they're all growing up at the same time. Even from the very first time you practice your color hearing technique exercises, you're developing aural recall from the start. Sometimes people may not have universal color discrimination, but they do have a fairly good aural recall. It's just that in order for the aural recall to be the best, you have to have all the levels that are underneath of it. This is the way these levels work.
So now, let's go and do three things. First, listen a little more for yourself. Go back to your own instrument. See how you hear these pitch colors, these subtle variations in the tones that we're talking about. We may never have listened to tones in this way before. All along, we've been playing our instrument, but never really hearing the tones deeply. We just heard them superficially. So go and have another listen to these very same tones you've been using all along with your instrument. This is the first thing to do. The second is to read your perfect pitch handbook. This will review the points we've been talking about, and it'll add some more subtleties to what we've said. Now, when you've read your handbook, the third thing is to go back again to your instrument and have yet another listen to the tones. Remember, listen gently and easily to the tones, no straining or forcing, and don't try to hear the colors clearly. Just be simple and natural, like a child. So do these three things. Listen, read, and then listen some more. See how you hear it now, and then we'll talk some more in session 4.